Welcome. Today, we're discussing an interesting content about a common frustration we've all faced, repeating our information over and over to customer service. But it turns out, there's a deep tech reason for it.
Oh, don't even get me started. It is the absolute worst. You call in, give your name, your account number, your date of birth, your life story, and then they transfer you. And what happens? The new person asks for it all again. It's like the first conversation never even happened.
Exactly. And what seems like just bad service is actually a classic symptom of something called poor data governance. It's all about how a company manages and shares its data internally.
Data governance. Okay, that sounds a bit corporate and, jargony. Break it down for me. What does that actually mean in this bank scenario?
Think of it like this. A bank has a giant central repository for data. Every time you use the mobile app or their website, your information flows into this central hub. Your name, address, but also really sensitive stuff like your social security number or account number.
Okay, so it's all in one big digital vault. Got it. But then what? Why does the sharing part seem to fail so spectacularly?
Well, that data doesn't just sit there. It needs to flow to different departments. Customer service needs some of it. The marketing department needs other parts. The loans department needs even more. Data governance is the set of rules and protections that allows the sharing to happen efficiently, without exposing your important, confidential information to people who shouldn't see it.
So it's like a traffic control system for data, letting the right cars go to the right places, but stopping others? How do they build a system like that? It sounds incredibly complex.
It is, but it can be automated with a solid data governance framework. And this framework really boils down to three main components: a policy, rules to implement that policy, and a way to classify the data.
All right, a three-part framework. Let's start with the first one. A policy? What does that mean? Is it just a big document nobody reads?
Hopefully not. The policy is the high-level why. It could be the bank's own internal data protection policy. Or it could be a major national guideline they have to follow, like GDPR. It's the North Star for how all data should be treated.
Okay, so the policy is the big idea. What about the rules? How do you turn a big idea into something a computer, or even a person, can actually follow?
Great question. The policy gets broken down into two main types of rules. First, you have data protection rules. These are very specific and often tied to a single type of data. For instance, you could set a rule that says, anytime a social security number moves from one system to another, automatically censor it.
Ah, I see. So it's like a digital black marker, automatically redacting the sensitive stuff. That makes sense. What's the second type of rule?
The other type is a governance rule. This is less automated and more like a written description, a playbook, if you will. For example, you could write a governance rule that explains exactly how the marketing department is allowed to use customer data for a campaign. It provides human-readable context.
Okay, so we have the policy, the goal, and the rules, the specific actions. But my question is, how does the system even know what it's looking at? How does it know that 123456789 is a social security number that needs censoring?
That's the third and maybe most critical piece, classification. The data has to be labeled and understood. And there are two cool ways to do this, through business terms and data classes.
Business terms. Is that like creating a company-wide dictionary so everyone is speaking the same language?
That's a perfect analogy. Imagine the customer service team measures app usage in months, but the marketing team measures it in days. The numbers would be all over the place. So you create a business term called utilization rate and define it officially as measured in days. Now everyone is on the same page. It standardizes the language.
That is surprisingly simple, but I can see how it would be so effective. It prevents so much confusion. Okay, so what about the other one? Data classes?
Data classes are more about the data structure. It uses metadata, which is data about the data. Let's say you upload a spreadsheet to the bank system. The metadata can tell you it has 10 columns and 500 rows, and it was made last Tuesday, all without even opening the file.
Whoa, that's powerful. So it can peek at the structure without reading the content?
Exactly. It can read the column titles. If a column is titled account number, the system can automatically classify every piece of data in that column as an account number and apply the right data protection rules to it, like masking it, from then on.
So let me see if I get this. You have the policy, the rules, and the classification working together. The system uses classification to identify the data, like an account number. Then it applies a data protection rule to mask it. All because the main policy says to protect customer information.
You've nailed it. And this whole framework can be automated with what's called reference data, which is essentially code. So now, let's tie it all back to our original problem.
Yes, the annoying customer service call.
Right. With this framework in place, when the first agent transfers you, the system automatically sends your data to the second agent. But the rules kick in. The second agent might see your name and your support ticket history, but the policy might block them from seeing your social security number or full account number, because their role doesn't require it. The right agent gets the right data at the right time.
My mind is kind of blown. So what feels like a simple, frustrating human error is actually a massive, solvable data architecture problem. It's not that the agents are incompetent, it's that their systems are.
Precisely. It shows how back-end infrastructure, like a data governance framework, has a direct and very real impact on you, the customer. And this concept can be taken even further with something called a data fabric, which is a way to operationalize this framework across an entire complex organization.
Data fabric. Okay, that's a topic for another day, but it's fascinating. It really changes how I think about those calls. I'm still annoyed, but now I'm annoyed at the poor data architecture, not the person on the other end of the line.
And that's the key takeaway. Good data governance isn't just an IT issue. It's a customer experience issue. It's the invisible engine that can make or break an interaction. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we look forward to seeing you next time.
Goodbye.